Today we're going to talk about the Avoda of Yom Kippur. Now, we could talk about that at any before any Yom Kippur, but especially for those who, Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, the ability to have Yom Kippur in Yeshiva, literally opposite the Makom Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Avoda would happen, gives you an opportunity to kind of relate to it in a very different way. I'll tell you normally the way the Avoda works in Yeshiva. You kind of have, like in most schools in the world, the Yom Kippur Avoda is kind of when everyone kind of puts their head down. It's like 2 o'clock, it's been going for some time, you had the singing. By the time you get to the Avoda, that's like a good kind of chill time to put your head down. So that's what happened, like 90% of the yeshiva, people in the yeshiva, like you had the singing and whatever, and then you kind of people put their head down. And then the other 10% are like crying their eyes out, and it's like the most intense thing like ever. It's like, oh my goodness, like we are the only people who are saying this Avoda who can see the place of it. It's like crazy. So it's like a big extreme. It's either like your head's down and it's just like nothing, and then you kind of wake up at MS Manedar, or it's like the most intense experience. So definitely by understanding what happens, what we're going to do is first talk about what happened and talk a little bit about some of the hashgachic ideas behind it, but by understanding what goes on helps. I would say another important thing is based on the way the yeshiva Nusach is. There's two different, but basically during Chazal Hashatz, throughout the Yom Nirom, you have different piyutim written from all over the different ages in medieval times, earlier, etc. You have lots of different piyutim. So I'll pull up a chair if you want. So there's the Ashkenazi style, at least for Yom Kippur, when there's the piyutim describing the Yom Kippur Avoda, it's very, very poetic, but actually it's kind of like referencing like one word, like a medrash about it, and it's like kind of very poetic and kind of symbolic, as opposed to the Sfardi one, which is what we do. It's just like, it's like prose, it's just like going through like they did this, they did this, they did this. It's easy Hebrew. It's so that's what we do in yeshiva, and actually that I think added a lot to the experience, because the poetic stuff, unless you're holding in midrashim all over the place, you, like Rav Adari probably would find it cool, and Rav Nevinsel, and everyone else would be like, okay, it rhymes nicely and whatever. Like so Atta Kananta is very useful. So for example, Rav Nevinsel, the day before Yom Kippur, he always on Fridays, he always gives a shir on Hilchos Beis HaBachira, about the Beis HaMikdash. Erev Yom Kippur, he gives a special one about the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And the way he does it is he goes through Atta Kananta, because it goes through, right, that's the name of the piyut, it goes through very clearly, it's easy Hebrew, just like spoken Hebrew rather than poetic stuff. So it actually makes it easier. So if you know more or less what's going on with the Avodah, then you can actually follow it with the Nusach we have. So what we're going to do first is talk about what happened in the Avodah, and then talk a little bit, a few of the hashgafic messages behind it. The way we're going to approach it is first thinking kind of conceptually about the different korbanos, kind of different groups of korbanos, and then we're going to talk about the order they were brought. So first we're going to say what type of korbanos. We're going to see there's 15 korbanos, which sounds like a very daunting number. So what we're going to first do is split them into groups and say kind of conceptually what is going on Yom Kippur. What are all these 15 korbanos? And then talk about, well, okay, now we know what this korban is because of this korban is because of that. Okay, but how did you actually bring them? So if I told you there are 15 korbanos in Yom Kippur, which korbanos do you know about? Which korbanos do you think which korbanos are not unique even to Yom Kippur? Then we bring it on Yom Kippur, but it's not unique to Yom Kippur.
Tamid,
yeah. Two korbanos will be the tamid.
Pardon? No, different parts with different groups of people.
That will get to. Basically, what we're going to see is there's three different sections of korbanos. There's the korbanos which are every day, to the tamid. The korbanos which are every Yom Tov, the Musaf, and then the unique korbanos for Yom Kippur. If we want the breakdown of numbers, two korbanos tamid that are the same as every day. 10 korbanos, which is just the standard Yom Kippur Musaf, which, by the way, is exactly the same Musaf as Shmini Atzeres, the same Musaf as Rosh Hashanah, exactly the same thing. So that's already 12 korbanos. Then you have three. These are unique, these three, for the Yom Kippur. If we had more time, we could talk about the Musaf there. There's a whole vort on kind of why there are 10 animals. Again, you could already see there's kind of a link. The korban of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres are the same Musaf. The Musaf, by the way, of Pesach, Shavuos, and Rosh Chodesh is also the same Musaf. So there's like a whole vort there. We're not going to go into that. We're just going to suffice by saying there are two korbanos for as the Talmud, the same every day. 10, which are exactly the same as Rosh Hashanah and Shmini Atzeres. That's just because Yom Kippur is a standard, is a Yom Tov, one of that group. Excuse me, and then we have the three korbanos that are unique for Yom Kippur. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to focus mainly on the three korbanos of Yom Kippur. The way we're going to do this is we're kind of going to split it off from the other group. Basically, the three korbanos of Yom Kippur. This will get a little bit complicated, so I'll repeat if you want. Two of them are korbanos that Kohen Gadol brings from his own money, that's his own korbanos. One is the Sayer LaHashem and Sayer LaZazel. Namely, one is you set up two goats, one of which is set LaZazel, one of which is brought as a korban. So again, you've had the two tzmidin, 10 musafin, those are the standard korbanos. Then there are three extra korbanos brought because it's Yom Kippur, two that belong to the Kohen Gadol, one that is the Sayer LaHashem and Sayer LaZazel, and that's what we're going to focus on now, kind of how those are brought. And this again, so we're moving now from the conceptual understanding of the Qurans to the order they were brought. And the basic order is going to be as follows. The Tumidin and Musafin are split at the beginning of the end of the day. It's actually Machlokas Tanoim, how you split it. Obviously, there's one Tumid in the morning, the first Qurban, and one Tumid in the afternoon, the last Qurban. How you split the 10 Musafin is a Machlokas. That's a debate. So you have kind of that on either side. So there, again, the 12 Qurbanas, you with me? You follow? You follow?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. The 12 Qurbanas are kind of on either side, yeah, in the middle. As well as the 12 Qurbanas, one of the Yom Kippur Qurbanas go with us. Namely, when you bring the Musafin in the afternoon, then one of the Kohen Gadol's Qurbanas he brings as well. So namely, the way we have the day is, more or less you have a split. The beginning and end of the day is the Tamid and Musafin, and in the middle is the Yom Kippur Qurbanas. However, one of the Yom Kippur Qurbanas, the Kohen Gadol's, one of the Kohen Gadol's, the ram he brings, that is brought with the Musaf. Again, it's Machlokes Tanaim exactly what comes before, what comes after. But in the middle, which is what we're going to focus on the most, there are basically two Qurbanas of one of the Kohen Gadol, one the Sorel Hashem, Sorel Azazel. So again, if we had two Korbanos Tomit, 10 Musafin, 3 Yom Kippur. The way those are split up is the 12 Tumidin and Musafin plus one Yom Kippur Korban are kind of at the bookmark, kind of beginning and end of the day. In the middle, you have the special Avodah for Yom Kippur, which involves kind of more complex, which is what we're going to focus on. That's going to be our main focus now. That we're going to go into a little bit of depth. So the way conceptually there's 2, 10, 3. The way you have it split in terms of time is you have the beginning and end, the standard carbon speed and Musafin plus one of the Kohen Gadol's carbon. Then in the middle you have one Kohen Gadol carbon and one Sorel Hashem and Sorel Azazel. Okay. Now, the basic, so now we're going to talk about those special Yom Kippur Qurbanos and what's happened with them. The basic idea, we're going to talk about the exact order, it's kind of the order of how it was done is complicated, but the basic idea is that, let's ask a general question. When we bring a Qurban, generally, what do we do with the blood? Or what is a central part of the Qurban is that we put the blood? Anyone know? On the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach?
Outside
Mizbeach, right. So you had the Kodesh Kodesh and the Kodesh, you have the Mizbeach outside. Generally, you put the blood on the outer Mizbeach. The general thing is, both on Yom Kippur and the other special events, kind of, in a sense, you could say the holier it is, the further inside we go. But, for example, Yom Kippur, as well as putting, before we put the blood on the Mizbeach outside, we put the blood on the Aron inside. Then we put it on the Kapores, which is again what's blocking the Kodesh Kodashim. So you first put it in the Aron, then on the Kapores, and then on the inner Mizbeach, and only then it goes on the outer Mizbeach. And again, the reason I'm saying like this is because, as a general rule, this is the beginning of Ezim Mekomon, kind of the more unique special Kabbalahs, Pahel and Davashol, Sibur, Pahel, and God, etc., the more special unique Kabbalahs are brought. Some of them are brought, like Yom Kippur, you bring the blood into the Kodesh Kodashim and put it on the Aron. Some of them you don't bring them into the Kodesh Kodashim, you just put the blood on the Kapores. And again, the standard Kabbalahs is put on the Mizbeach outside. There are various examples of Qurbanos, for example Yom Kippur, which you start, rather than putting the blood on the outer Mizbeach, you put it on the Aron HaKodesh, the Kapores, the inner Mizbeach, and then the outer Mizbeach. That is the basic thing we're going to do, and that is what we're going to do both. We've got two Qurbanos again, remember, we've got the 13 bookends on either side, which is kind of, again, the standard Tumid and Musafin, one Kohen Gadol Qurban, those are kind of brought in a very standard way. These two are brought in a unique way, the Sa'ir LaHashem, and the other Qurban of the Kohen Gadol, the power of the Kohen Gadol, those, the basic thing what we're going to do is bring the blood all the way inside the base window. Just by the way, as we go through this section, I'll kind of talk through how it links to our davening. For example, anyone think how this links? What part of our davening do we do that reflects the sprinkling on the Aron and on the Kapores? Anyone think? What you're saying is he would do one sprinkling down, then seven sprinkling, and we're talking through each time he brings in a different group of blood and does the sprinkling. Then he brings in the next thing of blood and does the sprinkling. That's what we're talking through when we're doing the achas ishtayim, etc. We're talking through the sprinkling of the blood of these two korbanos that happened inside. Okay, yeah.
Is that the Kruvim or the?
Well, that's the thing that it does. I don't remember. I think the Mishnah talks about it. Does it touch? Does it actually touch, or is it just in front? I think it's Bein Habadim. I think it goes Bein Habadim. I'm not sure. I always have to see the Mishnah when it discusses it. It's talking about when there was no Aron anymore. Yeah. So in the second Mishnah, gosh, but I don't remember the answer, whether it literally touches or just in between.
I don't think it touches.
Yeah, my impression is that it's like in between like the Badim, kind of like, yeah, yeah, right, right. Thanks. Well, because the way he does is he would sprinkle one sprinkling, he'd say the sprinkling down below Achaz, and then he would sprinkle seven up, so he would say, I'm sprinkling one, one and one, one and two, one and three. And every time he'd refer back to the lower sprinkling, he'd say, I'm doing the second highest sprinkling, I've done the one lower sprinkling, second highest sprinkling, one and three, one and four, one and
lower. It was lower than higher?
I think it's lower than higher, or you think it's higher than higher. I don't remember. I don't remember that either.
Each time you go down the letter,
you just mention the fact that you do. You eight sprinklings. You say after the first one, you call that's one. The next one is one, and I already did one and one. What I already did
so
one
you
and
do
two.
The lowest, then you go higher.
Yeah, I think yes, I think so. I don't remember. I have to be honest again. I don't remember if it was lower, higher, higher, lower. I don't remember. Possibly even a debate. I don't remember. Sorry about that. Okay, so that's the basic idea of what we're, so to speak, is going to happen is that these special two Yom Kippur Kavanos, the Sa'ir Hashem and the power of the Kohen Gadol, are going to be brought inside, the blood sprinkled inside by the Aron, on the Kaporos, on the Inu Mizbeach, and then on the Outer Mizbeach. Now what we're going to talk about is the way you do this, and this is kind of going to be, it's very interesting why it is like this. There's a little bit of jumping about. The way we're going to think about it, the easiest way to remember it, is kind of, you have the power of the Kohen Gadol, and kind of, it's almost like jumping like a Sfei Dinim. You do part of the din, you do part of the process with the power, then you move to something else. Then you go back and carry on with the power. You do something else. You carry on with the power. You do something else. Again, we've got two, what we're aiming to do, what is going to happen is the power of the Kohen Gadol and the Sa'ir Hashem are going to be brought inside. The way, the process, how this happens, and again, this is, we're going to try and link this to a major part of the Tefillah, so we'll understand so we'll be able to understand it, because otherwise it can be quite difficult. The way we're going to think about it is you do something with the power, then you move over and do something with the Sire. You do something with the power, then you move over, then you do something with the power. Again, you kind of go in stages. You don't just do everything with the power, then move to the Sire. It's kind of happening gradually, moving around, and that's what we're going to talk about now. So, the first thing, what's going to happen, one other thing that's going to happen is that the Kohen is going to do Vidui three times. These animals that are brought into the Kodesh Kodashim, again, the power of the Kohen Gadol and the Sa'ir Hashem, the Kohen Gadol is going to do vidui on each of them. So we're going to talk through how that works again, each time for a different group of people. So that's where we're going to start from. The first thing the Kohen Gadol does, again, we've got our bookends, the 12 Kavanos plus the one aisle of the Kohen Gadol. In the middle, we've got the two Yom Kippur Kavanos, which we're going to bring inside, and now talking how that happens. First thing the Kohen Gadol would do is he would say vidui on the power, on his power. He would lean on it and say vidui. What the vidui was is vidui for himself and his family. That's the first vidui. Just by the way, in terms of what the vidui is, vidui, the Kohen says, people know what the Kohen says and how we do this? When do we say vidui in the vidui in Avodah Yom Kippur? What do we do? Hashem, you know the call and response, like the la. People, I don't know if they do the same thing in America, but like you have the call and response that the chazan is saying. What are you saying? That it's Ana Hashem Chatosi Avisi Koshati Ani Ovesi. I and my family have sinned. Then what happens is he says, and Ki Bayomaz. It says like in the pasuk that today is going to be kapara. Ki Bayomaz Yichaper Alechem Mikochad Aseichem Lifnei Hashem. Hashem is said in the Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's when we bow down in Musaf, because that's when all the people would bow down, and he would finish the pasuk. Titaru, he would shout out again. He would say the pasuk. Ki bayomazei chaper alech and letaris kol chatzeich from lifnei Hashem. Hashem in the special way. Therefore, that's when we bow in shul. And then he would say, he'd finish lifnei Hashem. Titaru, as they're saying baruch shem kavod machaser olam va'ed. He would say titaru, and if you look in the siddur, that's exactly what we describe. That's exactly what we do in shul.
That's what they did.
That's what they did, and that's what we enact. That's what we enact.
We bow at like.
That's different. Van Afnan Kerem Shachem, we do that, but when we bow three times in Yom Kippur Musaf, kind of within a few minutes of each other, what that is the three viduyim of the Kohen Gadol. He would make three viduyim, two on the power and one on the Sar. We'll talk through each of them. But what is going on is we're saying the text he said, again, part of what he said was the Pasuk, which says the word Hashem, Hashem's name, and he would say it as it should be pronounced. And at that point, they bowed, and that's when we bow. We would say, as the people say, Baruch Shem Kavod Machos Olam Vaed, and the Kohen Gadol would shout out to them, Titaru, you should purify yourself, as they're bowing down, finishing the Pasuk. That's what would go on at the vidui. So again, the first thing that happens is the Kohen Gadol has a vidui. Again, this vidui is for himself and his family on the par. That's the first thing that happens. Now again, what we're saying is that eventually we're bringing this par gradually into the Kodesh Kodoshim. But first, as we said, it goes par something, par something, par something. The next thing that happens is the Kohen Gadol goes and does the goes and sets up the Soreh LaHashem and Soreh LaZazel. Namely, he chooses, as you said, there's two goats identical. He chooses which one is going to be LaHashem, which one's going to be LaZazel, and puts them in the right place. One ready to go, this one ready to go, and then stops. Again, so we kind of started the par, we did the video. We set up, again, we're not going to talk about it, but it's interesting why we'll see this keeps jumping back and forth, it doesn't do one at a time. You have, so he's done the video in his power. Next thing he does is set up the Soreh LaHashem, Soreh LaZazel, choose which one is which, put them by the place ready for action, but then leave it and then come back to the power. Yeah.
It's a choice or a lottery?
It's a lottery. Lottery.
Where is he standing when he does the video for everybody?
The video, the video is all in the same place. The video is between the, I believe, is between the Mizbeah and the, very close to the Mizbeah.
So first he does it for his family, then right after he does it for everybody?
No, first he does for his family, then he goes away, actually out, kind of a little bit further out of from kind of the inner part of the Beis Hamikdash, and sets up the power in Soyer, and then he comes, sets up the Soyer, LaHashem and Soyer LaZazel, then he comes back to his power.
And does the video.
And now he's going to do, and then, so again, he's
the power. So he screams out for the Hamikdash and they just hear
him? Yeah, they can hear him from the Soyer, yeah.
And the whole nation fits?
Oh, that's a general thing, but miracle, and they would bow and they would space, that's a general discussion. Okay, so I'll just make one brief point about that. We have the historical evidence, for example, the Roman consul to Israel, he reports to what happened on Yom Kippur, and he says that, like, there were 36,000 kohanim, and like the numbers were somebody, like huge, huge amounts of people were there. So we do have kind of, from time by shade, we do have reports about like a large number of people coming to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so we've started with the par, again, we've done par, done the video on the par, set up the Soreh LaHashem and Soreh LaZazel. Then we come back to the power. Then he does the second vidui on the power. This is the vidui for the Kohanim. Again, he did himself first. Then he set up the Soreh and the Soreh LaHashem, Soreh LaZazel. Then he comes back and does vidui for the Kohanim. And again, then we and then he shechts the cow. But again, he gives the blood to someone to stir it so it doesn't congeal. But he doesn't name, even though he just shechted the cow. And normally, by the way, normal Kohanim you do shechita and then you do shechita quite soon. Here again, he's done the second vidui, shechs the cow, gives the blood to someone, and then moves over to do something else. Okay? You with me? So we've got first vidui in the power, set up the Soreh LaHashem, Soreh LaZazel, second vidui in the power, shech the power, and now, again, we move over again, and then come back. The thing we move over to now is bringing in the Ketores as the last variable kind of we're going to add in. What happens now is he brings special Ketores. Again, Ketores is normally offered on the Inam Mizbeach. Here again on Yom Kippur, we're doing something special. We're offering Ketores also inside the Kodesh Kodesh. Just as we're going to bring the blood, we offer the inside, we also bring the Ketores inside. That's the idea of like the clouds have to fill the room, etc. And the old method how you did the Ketores. But again, we have Vido in the power, set up the Soreh LaHashem, Soreh LaZazel. Vido in the power, shech the power, get the Ketores, which is special Ketores, finer than usual, bring that into the Kodesh Kodashim, and then we come back to the power and bring the power into the Kodesh Kodashim. So again, just in terms of the following kind of the order. One is like the power section, you bring the power, you do vidui in the power. Then you set up the Soreh LaHashem, Soreh LaZazel, back to the power, second vidui and shecht it, move away from the power, get the Ketores, bring the Ketores inside, then come back to the power and bring the blood of the power inside to do the sprinkling. Yeah? People are doing so far what we've done is we've brought the Ketores inside, we've brought the blood of the power inside. And again, we've had five stages. People want switching over back and forth. The final, the sixth stage, and from here it kind of follows more of an order. The sixth stage is he goes and does the vidui on, then he shechts the korban LaHashem and brings that, he shechts the korban LaHashem and also brings that blood in. Again, that's point number six. So we started with the cat, the vidui, the setting up the Soreh LaHashem, Soreh LaZazel. Second vidui shecht, brings the Ketores inside. Then he brings the blood of the cow, again the cow had already been shechted, he brings it inside. Then he shechts the Soreh LaHashem and brings that blood inside. Again, so what we've achieved so far is we've managed to bring the Ketores, the blood of the Soreh LaHashem, the blood of the power, into the inside. And basically what's going to happen now, the end of the thing is, as we said, you don't just bring the blood into the Kodesh Kodashim, you also put it on the Kapores, that's what in the Inam Mizbeach. And then what happens is, we've had stage number 5 was bringing the blood of the power inside. Stage number 6 was shechting the Soreh, bringing that inside. Then 7 is put the power's blood on the kapores. kaparas. Eight is put the sari's blood on the kaparas. You kind of, so again, four, five, six, seven, eight kind of follow symmetry. You, number five is you bring the blood of the par inside. Six, you shech the sari, bring that inside. Seven, you bring the blood, you put the blood on the par on the kaparas. Eight, you put the blood of the sari on the kaparas. Again, so par sari. Then the final stage you do is you mix them together and then put them together on the mizbeach of pnimi and then the mizbeach of chitza. And that is the basic thing. I'm sorry if I did the first four, I think, much slower than the last four. So maybe I'll go through the questions and then I'll go through it again, just to summarise. And even if you don't remember every all nine stages, whatever it is, but the general idea we should get, and then we'll talk a little bit about the last couple. Yeah.
So the Kohen Gadol is doing this all by himself.
Yes, everything. Or even the 10, even the 13 bookmarks, everything is done by the Kohen Gadol.
Pardon?
There's certain areas they are allowed to stand, there's something they're not allowed to stand. They kind of help him out a little bit with the Azazel. We're going to see, the last section is that after you've done all this blood, then you take the Azazel. Sorry, stage number 10 is you then does vidui on the Azazel and sends the Azazel away.
You do it for the whole nation.
And that's for the whole nation. That's the vidui for the whole nation. So again, so you've done parasite, you've done all that, put all the blood. Then you do this vidui on the Sarah Azazel and send it away and do everything with the Azazel. Yeah.
So
the first thing he does is with stage number four. That wasn't a word. Stage number four. He caught between four and five, so just four and a half, you can call that. He says, first thing he does is he brings, the first thing he brings in is the Ketores. First time he comes in, he brings the Ketores in, and it has to, the cloud has to fill it. There's a whole procedure for that. Then, stage number five, he brings the blood of the par inside and sprinkles it. Stage number six, he shechts the sire and brings the blood of the sire inside and also sprinkles
into
it.
Into the Kodesh Kedoshim?
Into the Kodesh Kedoshim, opposite the Aron. Again, as we're discussing, does it touch the Aron, does it not touch the Aron? That's what we say. I'm not sure. Yeah. Any question?
There are 3 meters?
Yes.
Why just for the Kohen?
One is, that's an interesting question, but the one is just, again, the first video was for him and his family, second for the Kohen, and third for Bnei Israel.
So
interesting
one. Israel fit into the
house of that part of America? I don't know, again, why they think and why there should be three, it's a good question.
The third video is on what?
For the on the Sarah Mishtalech, sorry, I should have said, after we've done all the bloods coming inside and put the blood together, put on the Chitza and the Pnimi Chitza, then the final thing is you have the Sarah Lazazel set up. The Sarah Lazazel, you then, which again he chose in stage two, the Sarah Hashem Sarah Lazazel, he then takes the Sarah Lazazel, does vidui for the whole Jewish people, then sends it out to the desert, and that is, again, those are the and that is kind of the crux of the Avodah. Again, those, that central section, you have again the 12, the 13 Kabbalah's book ending it, but those are kind of the main, most intense central parts of the Avodah, finishing with the 10th section of the Sarah Lazazel. Question?
So literally all the Kohanim do nothing all day.
Yeah, except for... Pardon?
They mix the blood.
Exactly, one of them mixes the blood whilst it's waiting. One of them takes the... One of them, it's not the Kohen Gadol, it takes it out to the again, Mar Le'ad Memeria. It's a Kohen Gadol. But by and large, it is the Kohen Gadol who's doing everything the whole day.
He was not to eat, right?
No, he was not. But there was very interesting. There was food in the cabins on the way to the Sarah Lazazo, because you feel good if you have the option, even if you don't interesting. But there we go. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we'll just summarize the basic ideas. We said we kind of split it into 10 sections. Definitely the way of thinking about the first nine is that you kind of have par, move on to something else, par, something else, kind of keep jumping back and forth. The basic idea of what we're trying to do is we're bringing both the Ketores but also the power of the Kohen Gadol and the Sayer La Hashem. We're bringing their blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and onto the Kaparas. And the way we do is we kind of go in stages. We start by doing a vidui, the Kohen Gadol does a vidui and the power for him and his family. And yet, that is what, and these three viduyim are what we are saying when we're bowing down and if Nashon Tatar, etc. We'll touch on that in the Ashkava section a little bit. That's the first one. Then the second thing he does is set up the Sarah Lashem, Sarah Lazazel. He's done one vidui, sets up the Sarah Lashem, Sarah Lazazel, but leaves them. Comes back to the power and does a second vidui for the Kohanim, Shechtit. Then goes to the Ketores, gets the Ketores, brings that into the Kodesh Kodesh, stage four. Stage five takes the blood of the par that someone had been sprinkling, as someone had been stirring, and bring that into the Kodesh Kodashim. Stage, and that's again the Wa'achas, Achas, Ashtaya, etc. That's stage number five. Stage number six, he shechs the soyer and brings it in. And by the way, the zrika is exactly the same. Again, we do achas, 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 ishtam, etc. That's the soyer l'ashem. Then, stage number seven, this is very symmetrical, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number seven, we've done both of them in the Kodesh Kodashim. Now we do both on the kaparas. Seven is the soyer, the power on the kaparas. Eight is the soyer on the kaparas. Then we mix them together and put them together on the... In fact, it's machlokes on whether we mix them at this stage or the next stage. Either we do one at a time, then also on the mizbeach hapnimi, or we already mix them together from mizbeach hapnimi and then put them together also from mizbeach hachitzon. Then we finished all the blood coming inside. The last thing we do is the Kohen Gadol goes and to the Azazel. He already set up in section two, and he does vidur in it for the entire Bnei Yisrael and sends off that goat. That is the avoda. And again, so if we come back to what we said there were 13 carbonas that kind of bookended the central piece. 12 of them were the kind of Tomid and Musaf, one a special unique Yom Kippur carbon. Then the two special Yom Kippur carbonas are the Par and the Sire, which what we've done is we've brought their blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and also we've sent the Sire Lazazel, which is not considered a carbon. We've done vidui on the Sire Lazazel and sent it away, and that is the final vidui for the whole Bnei Israel. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Hashkafa, of what is the significance of this. I'll make four brief points about it. The first one is going to be generally about understanding, and this is almost just like just focusing on the pshat, and I said it briefly before, but it's just worth thinking about again. And I think it's quite a powerful image, what we do, what we reenact in shul, and I'll explain what I mean. When the Kohen does his vidui, which you could say is the crux, he's saying Hashem's name, that he doesn't say the rest of the year, etc. You could say it's the crux when he's saying the vidui for the people. The way the vidui works, I think just on the pshat level, it kind of gives you a deep understanding of what's going on here. The Kohen Gadol says, Ana Hashem, Chatosi, I have sinned, my family have sinned, please mechaper, etc. Because on this day, we are mechaper lifnei Hashem. As he says Hashem, everyone bows out. This is what happens in shul, and we say Baruch Hashem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed. As we're doing that, he says to them, he's finishing the posuk, which finishes off Titaru, go and purify yourselves. So you kind of have this balance. You already basically see that it built into the way the Kohen Gadol does it is he's saying, "This is I'm doing vidui, and this should be a kapar and everything." And as they're bowing down, kind of the crux, he's shouting out. The posuk ends. The word he's saying to them is Titaru, purify yourself. I think it just kind of it's not really a chiddush as much as just focusing on what it's saying, but it's a very powerful image. The Kohen Gadol is saying vidui. As he's saying vidui, he's saying Hashem's name. We all say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed. As we're saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed, he's saying to us, Titaru, purify yourselves. That is what's going on with each of the three vidui, and that's exactly what we do. Okay, in shul, that's exactly what happens. We're saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed. As the chazan, and you'll hear the chazan, we'll be saying Titaru, purify yourselves. So that's the first point, just focusing very much on the pshat of what's going on. I think it just gives an understanding of just how the vidui was, and I think it's quite a powerful image to have in one's head as we're doing the vidui. The next thing I want to do, I want to make three points about the Sar Lazazel and Sar Lashem. It's a big question. What is this idea of a Sar Lazazel and Sar Lashem? When do we have a habit of thinking that you sense that you do the vidui and rather than bringing the carbon, again, the power, the Kohen Gadol did vidui on two carbonos twice and then brought it inside. What you're doing is you're doing vidui for the whole Bnei Yisrael and sending the Sar away. What does that mean? Why do we do that? So giving three different explanations. One is so to speak kind of the very rationalistic Rambam-esque style of looking at it, as well as two other symbolic explanations that have been offered. The Rambam-esque way goes back to the Rambam very rational way of looking at Karbonos, which is that Karbonos really are somewhat like a bidyeved. Like the reason we have Karbonos is because the surrounding peoples were all doing animal sacrifices. We couldn't have just immediately made the transition to serving God without these things. Therefore, we had to do Karbonos, but either Rambam says this, or this is an understanding that you... this is just an understanding that develops about the Rambam, that nevertheless, built into the way we design our animal karbonos is some kind of message. Namely, we need to have animal karbonos because people need it, like some crutch people need it. But built into that will be a message in order for us to be able... So it's not just Stalin doing the crutch, but kind of using the crutch, speaking to people their language. We're doing an animal carbon, but built into the way we do an animal carbon will be a message about how to do... about what's going on. So rather than just doing an animal carbon, they need a carbon, so we'll do the carbon. Rather than that, the carbon is set up in a way that it contains a special message. Again, the language they can speak, they couldn't have spoken language, it wasn't carbonos, it had to be through carbonos. But through the way we do the carbon, that conveys the message of what the carbon is. We'll say what the message potentially is with the Azazel. Yeah.
Part of the Rambam, why will there be, or
the strongest, one of the strongest questions on the Rambam, major discussion. The Rambam himself seems to say in Mishnah Torah that when Moshiach comes, he'll, Melech HaMashiach will bring back Korbanos, big question. That's a major, major discussion. And this Rambam is, by no means, is like a, probably one of the ones that got him into a bit of trouble. It's very, very like rationalistic. To a large degree. However, if we are going to follow the Rambam's understanding of Korbanos, with the Azazel, we know historians and people know the history of the area at that time. At the time the Torah was given, there was a strong culture of either, for example, someone ill touching an animal and therefore the animal going away, and that was supposed to take the illness away. Or you had an animal going away that was supposed to, that signified the sins going away. However, there are two unique things about the way we do the Azazel compared to any other culture around us. Again, so what we're trying to show is that the way we had to do something like the Azazel because that was just the way people were then, but we did it in a way that would convey the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to convey to us, and that's done by the uniqueness that there is in how Hashem told us to do those. There are two uniquenesses. One is that no other culture, they would say vidui on that thing they sent away. It was just, this animal is taking our sins and that's it. Here, we do send the animal in, but we need to say vidui in it first. That's the first point. And a second point is that nowhere else did you have the idea of two goats, one going away, one going Lashem. You have no idea like that. It was normally, the sin goat goes away and the sin goat goes away, that's it. These are the two uniquenesses. So, if we're going to, we'll focus on the first one first. The idea that you had to say vidui again, you can understand it very well. Again, that they needed whatever it was, that was just how they were. They needed this idea of the Azazel going away. But the important thing is that they were, and this is like the strong vidui, the vidui for the whole Klal Yisrael. They all, as the vidui is going on, they're saying Titoru, that it's kind of, you're bringing with the Korban, you're bringing into the format of this Korban, you're bringing into it the idea of vidui. So again, you're kind of speaking their language, you're doing the Korban, but you're building into it in a very strong way, as we talked about. The whole interaction during the vidui, you're building into it vidui. That's based on the first point. The second point about the uniqueness of the fact that there would be a Sar Lashem and Sar Lazazel, two explanations have been offered. Again, this can be separate from the Rambam's idea. This is just a general two explanations that offered what the idea of Sar Lashem and Sar Lazazel is. One is kind of historically symbolic. This is brought in the Medrash that it symbolizes the twins, one of whom went away towards the area of Malei Adumim and further, and one of them was in Eretz Yisrael, namely Yaakov and Esav. Esav himself settled in Har Seir, and they were twins. So you take two goats, sends one of them away, one with the sins, one of them into the basement, because that's supposed to symbolize Yaakov and Esav, one of whom was chosen by Hashem, one of whom is associated with his sin. That's an explanation in the Medrash. A second one, explanation by Rassam Shulfal Hirsch, is that the idea of the Sar Hashem and Sar Azazel is supposed to indicate to you the power of Bechira Chofshis. Namely, you take two identical goats that are supposed to look exactly the same to the extent possible, and you realize that you have the power to choose, and you have the ability to, that say similar goats, one can end up falling off a cliff with sins, and one can end up inside the Kodesh Kodashim. That's the symbolism he brings, that the power of Bechira Chofshis. I'm going to guess what your question is, and see. I wish I could like write it down and see if it's like, say, go for it. Because it's a girl. Yeah, good question. I don't have an answer. Okay. Good question. I don't know, but that's the. As he says, the idea is that you see the consequence. You see the idea that a similar things can end up in such different places. It's supposed to teach you the power of your Bechira Chofshis. Yeah.
How can we say over what they did in the Hodah? We don't really have it based on Mikdash. And the Chazan is in the Kohen,
So again, we don't say it fully, we don't mouth properly, we don't say Hashem's name as it was then. What we're doing is we're reminding ourselves of what happens. When we do this, this is not, the Chazan is not saying a vidui on the people. The Chazan is not saying a vidui for the Kohen. The Chazan is saying a pirut which tells us what used to happen. I mean, also the idea that posik is the central focus of Yom Kippur. Stam in the Torah before you get to the base of Mikdash, in the Torah, that this is the day when you come will be cleaned of your sins in front of Hashem, and you'll be pure, and you should purify yourselves. That is the central motif of Yom Kippur in the Torah. So we are saying a period which reminds us of what happened then. That's what we do in Shul. So I hope this helped. And again, if people, once you look at the Siddur, again, those major sections in the middle, the sprinkling and the vidui, that's exactly what's happening. It's at that section, let me say, the vidui, and bringing the blood inside. Hopefully that'll help people understand. And I hope it helps people have a more meaningful Yom Kippur. Gemar Chasima Tova, and see you next month.